The topic today is Gnevas Das. I'm not lying. It's true. That is the topic, even though I was over it, maybe, in describing the yeshiva to a potential student a few moments ago. I don't normally record our shiurim as we were talking about, but I want to dedicate this shiur l'zecher nishmas my grandfather's yahrzeit is this evening, Yaakov Yitzchak ben Nachum Dov. And specifically, I spoke about in the extended lessons from the Lev, he's really someone that, when we talk about the shiur that we're going to discuss today, really identifies with this dual model in our lives. And this is, you know, somewhere where you're probably a little bit more mature and hopefully started to think about. And that is that you can be a Jew, right? And you can live a life as an Orthodox Jew. And then you can live a life as a Torah Jew. What do I mean? I mean that there are categories where we want to go lifnei mishuras hadin. And we want to say that it's not enough doing what I do. I don't want to be that Orthodox Jew who does this and does that, does some of this, some of that. I was at a levaya yesterday. And the number one topic that this gentleman was discussing, I think you're good, no? Was discussing was how is he going to go to Minyan three times a day? Of course, that should be something that's not a question, not because you're a novel. When I first, a few years ago, we went with my kids to America, and we know Israel. And I said to my kids, something very special is about to happen. We went to Mincha Ma'ariv in a very, very famous large shul, and it was Aleinu. And I said to my kids, listen carefully, you're going to be shocked what's about to happen. And all of a sudden, and like 80% of the shul, right? Because that's what keeps, you know, some shuls alive. It's people have to say Kaddish. And like everybody will avail them. We have to think to ourselves that that's not the way life should be. Life should be one where I'm always lifnei mishuras hadin. And we're going to discuss a lot of this lifnei mishuras hadin today because some of the questions, which maybe some of you are smart enough to remember from last year, but we have a lot of new chedushim, a lot of new stories, where we're going to go over and above. I was at a wedding of my wonderful neighbor just a day ago, and Baruch Hashem, for those that know, my hakbadas at weddings, there was glass bottles of Coke Zero. So I was sitting next to one of your wonderful rabbeim from the yeshiva, and he's like, should I get you a zero to go? So I told him, I heard a shiur by this rabbi, and he tied in that it was usher, even though I think that it's incorrect. He says that the hakbada, the bottle is owned by the caterer, not by the Baal Simcha, and he's makbid, he doesn't want people to take it out, and you have to find the owner of the place to ask, you can't just ask a waiter. I told him, okay, I could be a lifnei mishuras hadin person, and if I really want glass bottles, I could spend 120 shekel and buy 24 of them, whatever it costs. Okay, sometimes we have to be. My grandfather very much signified that. He was someone who was very much into what we call in YU lingo, Torah Amada. You want to call it Torah Ve'avoda, that's fine. Torah Amada, he was one who was successful in changing Yeshiva College into a university. He was the president of Kingsborough Community College, the first president they had, and probably the first Orthodox president of non-YU university, of a secular university, and a lot of challenges being Orthodox. But he really stood by principles. I remember, I think probably the most, when he was Nifter, he had many, many Perushim on Perkei Avos. Perkei Avos is something that he lived by. And I think that that's something that in Emir Tzashem, I hope, a little bit of a Liyar's Neshama, is that we can learn Torah and that I can take upon his ways. I remember the last thing I ever told him was that I decided to go to YU. And I remember how happy he was. I will never forget that moment, how happy he was that I chose to go to the place that he really helped build. So let's see. Let's discuss. There is an Isser in the Torah, which according to some is far greater than any Isser of Geneva. So sometimes you have an Isser of Geneva, which is obvious. Let me give you a good example of an Isser of Geneva that's obvious. You're running a little bit late to Shir. I don't know why. Maybe your shachars is so inspirational. And you pay your tefillin off. By the time you take tefillin off, breakfast is already almost finished. And now you're going to be late. You don't want to be late to Shir. And today, oh my God, it's Tuesday. Rav Hartstein is supposed to come on time. And so you get so excited. So you get a bowl of cereal. But you're very makbid that you don't want your bowl of cereal to be soggy. It's ridiculous. The bowl of cereal should be soggy. So you decide, I'm going to take an entire carton of milk, and I'm going to, right? And then you're going to say, but Rebbe, it's not me. It was almost done. It was done. And I'm helping them out, and I'm going to throw it out after, right? Justified stealing. Good. So those are obvious stealing that we're not discussing today. That's obvious. But the Torah tells us that there's an isser of l'ramot v'nei adam. I'll just go a little bit further on. Quote the Sfarno on the Pasuk tells us that there's an isser l'ramot, there's an isser of g'nevas das. This is Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. Really comes from the Rambam, Reish Chav Ches. Aser l'ramot v'nei adam b'mekach u'lemkar. You're not allowed to be sleuthsaying. You're not allowed to trick a person. For example, kigon im yesh mum b'mekach. You're selling an item. Back in my day, I don't know where you guys sell items today. It used to be eBay was the place to sell. And in eBay, when you would post something, they would say, what condition is it? You'd have to write. So now I'm selling my iPhone, right? Marketplace? I don't know. Where do you sell things? Craigslist? Maybe not. Right? So you put it on. And you say, I have this phone. And you write, like new. And then you send it to the guy, and the guy's like, are you kidding me? Scratch, is this or that? That's your typical example. You're selling a home, you're selling a car, and you don't tell them about the, I think I'm right about this. My father was buying a used car, and he went to a place, unfortunately, I'm saying unfortunately because you'll hear the rest of the story, owned by seemingly religious Jews. And he said, I want to check the car out. I'm going to go to my mechanic. And the guy's like, what are you going to do? You don't try. Give me a good deal. Took it to the mechanic, goes up on the thing, and the guy's like, I don't even have to look at this car. You cannot take this car. He's like, why? And he shows him the bottom of the car. It says, look at the rust. He said, it looks like this car had a car accident and it fell into like the ocean. The entire bottom was filled with, it was corroded. He said, this guy, like, some sort of accident where there was water involved. And he went, no, what are you talking about? Right, that's a l'ramot. That's a lie. That's issue number one. Then he says, afim uvoid kachavim. Let's say he's a guy. Lo yimkor lo baser nevela bechazaka shvuta. Posing the question to you guys now. The halacha says that I'm not allowed to sell a guy meat. Right? Let's say was it last year when they did shechita? It was puzzle.
Yeah.
So you do the shechita, it's puzzle. You don't know what to do now. So you don't want to go to Ahmed and say to him, "Salam alaykum barakat. We have this meat here, and don't worry about it. It's totally kosher." Right? You don't want to say to him it's not kosher because then he's going to be like, "Oh, it's not kosher. I know you guys can't do anything with it. I'll take it for $5." So you say to him it's kosher meat. Just what's the difference to him? Why can't you do that? What's the issur?
They're lying.
So, simply according to the Shulchan Aruch, there's an issur of genevas das. But why? Why? What's the big deal? What's so bad about what you're doing? There's no repercussions. What do you think?
Because you're giving him false information, you're getting more money. You're like, basically, it's stealing more.
Right. So, genevas das literally means stealing his mind. You're doing something that, I don't want to say the words, forget about him for a second, but forget about him for a second. It's you. We spoke about this a lot. You're developing your character traits into being a liar. The other possibility, what's another possibility here? Here's another possibility.
He might
have sell you to the Jew. Excellent. So now, you guys are so religious from Ramat Beit Shemesh, you know. Yeah, he might take this meat, Ahmed, and go into another not as religious community. And says, Salam alaikum barakat, asli bashar shchuta. Right? And he goes, and they believe him. They don't look for hashkacha. You know, it's under the, it's under the Mahadran, Harav Arafat. I don't know. You know, like, they don't care. This Mahmoud standing there telling me, I got it from Ramat Beit Shemesh, from a guy with a long beard. I'm like, okay. And he, by the way, he's not lying. He thinks it's shchuta. He's not even lying. Okay, there's all problems with doing that. Excellent. That's true. But at the core of the Isra, I believe, that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, is the Isra of Genevas Das. And then the Shulchan Aruch continues. For example, there's a lot of other different examples. The typical example is that I do something for you, which I don't actually do for you. Example, I hate to have guys over my house. This is not true, of course. I hate to have guys over my house. Some idiot texts me. Man, I don't know how to get out of it. How am I going to get out of it? I don't know what to do. Right? So I tell him I'm really sorry. I can't. This week, I make up a whole story. The next week, I find out he's going away for Shabbos. So I go up to him and I go, Shalom Aleva, how you doing, my bad? Can you come for Shabbos? Now, if he's a good Shabbat, I know he's going to say, you know what? I'm canceling my plans. Right? Look at it. You're not going to do that. Because he's going to come and say, you know what? I actually last week thought Rav Hartstein was just a really not nice guy. But I see that he wants to have me over. No, I don't. I found out you were going away. Or how about a typical, right? A person walks into the room, right? The fakest of the fake. And you're like, hey, there he is, my guy. This is this number one guy in yeshiva. Love this guy. Love this guy. What if you're standing outside and someone starts grilling you about the yeshiva and they say, what do you think? Should I send my son here? I know you don't even work here, so tell me the truth. Asul Ramot. A few more examples. I go to the hospital to visit grandma. She's in the hospital. And as I'm walking to see grandma, I happen to notice in a room a guy that I know. I walk into the room, and guess what? He sees me and he goes, oh my God. All the way here for me? I thought I had no friends. Wow. Do you say to him, dude, no. Like, totally not. My grandma, I would never come visit you. So sometimes we allow you to not tell the truth. What if he says to you, hey, I can't get up out of bed. I'm in the hospital. Can you read my chart? Tell me what's going on. And you take the chart and you said, honestly, I could summarize the whole chart in two words. Yiskadal, Yiskadash. And I'm like, sorry, man. It's over. Well, okay. We're going to tell him. So we don't have to always say the MS. That's true. Some say that there's an Isidarais over here, and the Isidarais is only when you're actually taking money away from them. Although, it's interesting to think about, because if I invite you to my wedding, knowing that you can't come, and that's the only reason why I invite you, because I know you're going to America that week. And then you invite me to your wedding, and I'm like, oh man, this is awesome, free meal. So there could be there money exchanging hands. Let's delve a little bit deeper. Where does this all come from? It comes from the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos says the following. He says the similar thing. When I'm reading you now, are words to live by for the rest of your lives. This is it. This is it. This is a very important rabbah. Aser la'adam la'anig atzmo b'divrei chalkot upeti. A person is forbidden to be smooth tongue or in a luring manner. V'yiyeh echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. Ella toichot kibara. Huge line of the rabbah. Toichot kibara. What you speak and what you think should be the same. Right? No, not always. As my Rebbe would say, don't be a faker. Right? The guy that's sitting in the front of the Beis Medrash, I beat him again, and really in his mind he's thinking about, when the heck is this going to be over? I can't wait to go to Ben Yehuda tonight. But worse than that is when you go up to somebody and you say something and misrepresent really what you think about the person. I'm not saying, chas v'shalom, you have to say the truth of it. Of course not. We can't always say the truth. It's mutter for a person to have a white lie. It's mutter when your wife comes downstairs and she says, how do I look? To be like, as beautiful as the day that I married you. Right? I'm being honest now. That's true. Sometimes lying is allowed. Sometimes lying is a mitzvah. But we should struggle with trying to be echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. We should develop ourselves. And sometimes it's a chisaron in our midos. What do I care? Why am I so machmed on this person that I hate him so much? Stop hating him. I say this many times, but let's say there's a person. Everybody could put that person in their mind. I have somebody in my mind now. I really, really don't like this guy. I'm really annoyed by this person. And he just says things that are always inappropriate, sometimes to me. And like, now, what if I told you something right away and I say to you, you know, this guy, Nebuch, he's special needs. Would I hate him at all? No. Rav Gav tells a story about this guy who's going to the hospital. And he's walking, he's right by the hospital. All of a sudden, someone punches him in the back, hard. He's like, I'm a New Yorker, what do? I clench my fist, and I start turning around to punch him back. And literally, and I have like all the koyach now, and I'm about to punch him, and I turn around and I see it's a yachad kid. That's the way he shows love, he punches you. So what? Why don't I punch him in the face? I'm like, I just told you. So what? He hurt me. If we looked at people, and I don't mean this in a funny way, that everybody's different. Like, his chemistry makeup is not exactly like yours. Your life would be totally different. I'm telling you guys. I wish I could live a life like this. So, okay, he wasn't dealt the same cards I were. I understand what Hakaras HaTov is. How can he not say please and thank you? How can it be? How can it be that I had four guys over for Shabbos and nope, no, that's not true. No, but I've had this before. I'm not a big Shana Aleph. Shana Aleph guys sometimes come over and like, you're like, are you serious? I don't care about bringing gifts over. That's not important to me. But it's important. Why? It shows a little Hakaras HaTov. I've had guys at my table just sit back and roll. My wife's cleaning up, and I'm like, what the heck is going on here? I'm the Mela. I don't clean up because I'm the king of the hat. Come on, guys. Baruch Hashem and Lev HaTorah, we don't have this problem so much. And we got beautiful bottles of wine. They test you. I got the bottle of wine. They tested me. They wanted to see if I would open it and get the guys drunk. Nope, I'm not passing that test. Brought out a little Joyvin, 5%. Nice try, guys. The Rambam's key over here. Toichel kabaroi, the inyan shabalev hadavar bapeh, the asu lignov dasam abrios afilu dasa avoyde kolchavim. Stop saying this word all the time. People say this. Oh, they're just goyim. It's okay. No. Why? Because it develops in you character traits that aren't good. There's a commentary on the Rambam called the Sefer HaKovetz. And the Sefer HaKovetz asks, why does the Rambam repeat this? Both in Hilchos Deos and then again in Hilchos Schirus. This doesn't make sense. So, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, all group this together in Siman Tav Chof Ches. Why the two different Yad Chazaka books? Says the Sefer HaKovetz, this concept reveals that there must be Svei Dinam. There must be two aspects in Geneva Stas. One involving the actual business transaction, where there's an Isser based on the ethical nature of it to be Geneva Stas. As he writes in his Mishnah, in his Perush HaMishnayos on Kelim, about deceiving Gentiles. And then there's another aspect called Chil Hashem. There's two aspects here. Chil Hashem She'en Kamoyu. You're going to get caught. You say this, then it becomes a Chil Hashem. As I pointed out, the Pasuk, says the Svarno, as I said, this is talking about Geneva Stas. So now, I want to ask very practical cases. But because you're a year later now, and you may remember my case, it's okay. I want to see if you can give me, there's no right answer here. There are stupid answers, but there's no right answer. Here's the case. I have an uncle, and my uncle, let's give him a name, my uncle Fred, he works for a sneaker company. What's a good fancy sneaker company? Nike. Or here in Israel, what do we call them? Nike E. Yes, you don't know. You pronounce the E. They'll argue with you. No, no, no. You don't know how to say it. I know. I know. You know Francis Nike? I know him very well. No, made that up. Okay. So your uncle works for Nike and he calls you up and he says, listen, you know, I started working for Nike. I can get you any sneaker you want 40% off. So I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. Should I get the Air Max? Should I get the da-da-da-da? Should I get the da-da-da? Whatever. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know the shoes. Should I get Kyrie's? Come on, let's look. Yeah, good. So, no, they took him off. He's done. Rabbi Chananel ben Akasha. Excellent. Mourner's Kaddish. So, so he comes along and he says, listen, do me a favor. You clearly don't know what you want. Go into a sneaker store, find the right sneaker, write the name down, come back. So, goes to the mall, he's all excited, he's going to get sneakers. And he goes into the first sneaker store he sees, Foot Locker. So the referee comes up to him, and the referee, time out, I can help you now, right? All right. This loser guy with the referee. And he's showing him all the sneakers. He finds the sneaker he wants. Writes it down. Are you allowed to do this? No. We call it window shopping. Rabbi Sai, what do you think? Don't just say yes or no to me. You need to have a reason because you're shut a bet now. What do you think? Yes, you're in the back.
I think going to Foot Locker is wrong because...
In general.
No, in general, yes.
You know, go ahead. Yeah.
No, but I think going in there to look for a Nike shoe is wrong because they buy from Nike, so they're, you know, like, Nike makes more money when you buy from a Nike store because Nike doesn't sell you, like, Nike sells, like, let's say, the shoe for $35 that cost them, like, $10 to make, and now Foot Locker is selling it for $120 versus, you know, Nike making, like...
Okay.
So I think going into Nike, where your uncle also works...
Is it Nike or Nike?
Nike.
It is Nike?
Yeah. No, it is Nike.
This off into the Roman God.
You see how skewed I am now? 14 years in Israel?
They never even say it.
Shoot.
Yes.
Listen to your friends speak. They may have something good to say.
I
know.
So I think going to the store where your uncle works for that company... It's not getting us thousand because you're buying from them anyway.
But you're not.
You're buying from the company.
You're not though.
You're buying it with 40%.
I know, but your Foot Locker is losing money on you.
Yes, so I'm saying if you go into Foot Locker, it's usher.
But to go to the Nike store, that's okay. Okay, fair. That's fair. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, I was going to say you can't because you're putting the wool over the seller's eyes that he could sell you a pair of shoes.
Something English. He put in the wool over his eyes. Very good. Because
you're giving him the assumption that he's going to sell you a pair of shoes.
Rav Zilberstein is going to use the word sipia. You're giving him hope. Yes.
I think you can because.
Oh, finally!
Because. A lot of reasons, actually.
We don't have all day.
Okay. Maybe that you go into the like store, they're maybe selling other cheap products that you could buy. And then also, like...
Beautiful.
It looks good for the store to have people in their store. The only problem, a little bit, might be taking that, like, guy's time. But, good. Like, other than that...
I have to say, you gained a lot in a year. Those are wonderful answers Rav Zilberstein will address. Excellent. Seriously. Really. Great. Beautiful. Yes?
I agree with Yaakov that I think you can.
Who's Yaakov? Crepe nuts. Go ahead.
It's a little bit
I think that just culturally, it's not, they're not like immediately assuming you're going to buy something. It's not like a crazy
thing. I like that answer. It's a very good answer as well. Society's different. Nowadays... There's something called window. People know that when you walk into the store. Good. Fair. Maybe. Yeah.
They're selling service, not just the shoe.
But they want you to buy it.
I'm saying that I hope this is a service, and then the shoe is the product.
If I walk into the store and I say to you, which may be the answer to this question also, I say to you, excuse me, I have no intention of buying this shoe. Yeah. Can you show me shoes? Will they help you?
Yeah.
Why?
That's the
service. Why?
Because they're
still
what?
The
what?
Customers get the workers get
paid. They're still yeah.
Getting
salespeople.
Why? Why would I do that? That's what I wanted you to say. I'm glad I forced you to say it. Nobody, I'm sorry, I disagree with the first premise. Nobody's just service-oriented. I'm service-oriented because I know what it could lead to. You may never purchase a sneaker for the rest of your life. But when I get my Air Max sneakers, whatever, and I'm wearing them, and my friend says, oh, those are awesome. Where'd you get them? I said, well, I actually got them from my uncle. You can't get them. But I have to tell you something. I went to Foot Locker. The guy was so nice to me. Boom, you just got a sneaker. I'll do that every day of the week. The greatest advertising in the world. Even though I didn't buy the product there. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you.
Because Christ, I think it's okay because Christ and actually is a very common language of people.
Ooh. People, you're about to say something that's going to blow my mind. Go ahead.
About price matching.
Meaning what?
Meaning about what a lot of people do. Go into stores that are already pre-existing price on the same product in a different store.
So what do you think? What do you think this kid's going to do now? He's going to go in. He's getting it from his uncle.
Can ask him price match.
You can price match it. But you can't.
I've been teaching this probably for, I don't know, at least 10 years. Nobody ever said that answer, ever. I've been waiting for years.
Is that about price matching?
I love your answer. I'm gonna work on your answer a little bit. Beautiful. Everybody's so smart. That's bothering me. It's upsetting. Yes.
I don't know if we can call it actually, because then, like, how far are we gonna take this? Are we gonna say going on the internet and price matching is also usher because you're considering buying on a website?
Fair. And maybe there's a difference in the countries that you go to. Yes.
I think when you go in the store and you go and you ask an employee to show you shoes, you're getting their hopes up, and they're like, "Oh, I'm about to make a deal."
CPA.
So to then go and say, "No, I'm okay, I'm lying," you're stealing, you know, their
good
joy.
Can Ava stop? Yeah. Yes.
Also, there are other people waiting in the store to get help, and they're actually going to buy.
Good. Food. Last thing. Go ahead.
If they're paid by commission, I think it also is different.
Ooh.
Because you actually
may be
stealing, like, money from them.
Good. Okay. Let's see what Rav Zilberstein says. Anybody that knows me well enough knows I love Rav Zilberstein. I love those questions, but how, Rav, now, what if? Right? Okay, many times. Okay, fair. Everybody calm down. Here we go. He's asked the question. I've obviously embellished a little bit. He quotes the Gemara Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Ches. Rabbi Yehuda, Oymer Af Yitalda Einav Al Mekach B'Shash Ein L'Dam. You're not allowed to walk into a store if you have no money. Nowadays, there's no such thing. There's a lot of things that bother me. You know, I have pet peeves. This is my pet peeve. Now that they have all the card readers, I hate this guy. Kansas Shmonim Sheker. Say it there. He puts his watch on the. One second. Just take your freaking credit card out of your pocket. Stop it with that. I have it on my watch. Stop. Anyway, sorry. But if you actually have no money, I went running with Nebuch. I went running with my wife. And now I'm thirsty. You know? And I'm like, I don't have any money. Let's say I don't have any money. And I said, I just want to go. Let's just see. I want to go into you know how to do that. I don't know if this Gemara applies today as much. I'm being honest with you. Because number one, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, unfortunately, my wife's making me go walking. So I went walking, right? It's been 3 days now in a row. And I went walking with her. And on the way back, I said, ooh, I want to go into this shirt store. My kids have there's certain shorts place that they have, we like their shirts. But their shirts are so expensive, inflation, whatever. So I had zero intention of buying them. I actually had money with me, but I didn't know my kids' sizes. I went in and I said, Elo Damien, like Elo, I wouldn't. And the guy says to me, oh, they're 2 for $200. That's the sale I was waiting for. I'm like, okay, that's fair. $179 used to be. Okay, but I'm beggars can't be choosers. Shkoyev. I said, I'm going to come back to him. He goes, no. He says, now you're trying to be a seller. He's like, no, come. No. But that, I think, is mutter. I have no intention of buying now. But I'm going to come back. Again, if you told me $250, I wouldn't buy. That's mutter. Then he says, When you don't want to buy, don't go into a store and say, how much is this? Excuse me? How much is this? I used to do this back in the day. There used to be a thing like this. There used to be, back in the day, you guys won't know about this. They were called dollar stores. Wait. And they used to be, everything in the store used to be a dollar. Nowadays, they don't have, first of all, the dollar stores are now $1.25 stores. Terrible, right? And then a lot of dollar stores say they're a dollar store, and like you go and go, wow, that's actually very good. Oh, $3.95. Like, what? There's no dollar store. So I like to go into the dollar store and annoy them. Excuse me? Hi, how much are these? $1. How much is it? $1. Stop! You know, the guy's like, start shaking my, kill me. Okay, fine. So then he says, and then he quotes, Ubir hanachas Yaakov, Mishum shezeh, oinos tvarim. You give me, we said the word sipia. You give me hope. I think this guy's walking in, he's going to buy something from me. Nobody's walked into my store the whole day, finally. You have no intention of buying. Me'idach. But wait a second. I got a second side of this story. Yesh makom lahatir mezois. It should be mutter. Let's say we're in Eretz Yisrael. We're all a bunch of Jews and we love each other. We love each other. We use beautiful terms. Achi, achi, my brother, you know? You cut somebody off on the road, the guy gets upset, he starts priding you, and he forces you to pull over to the side. And then what happens? He gets out of the car, and you know this is going to be bad, and you get out of the car and go, achi, no malasot, no. And you hug each other, you just go, yeah. That's what happens here. You don't want to do me a solid? Let's say I'm not wasting his time. There's nobody else in the store. Why not? The famous Gemara turn. I'm getting hana for this. You're not losing anything. You're on your phone anyway, checking the latest status on Instagram and TikTok and to see if Kanye West is back on. Like, what are you doing? He says, isn't this the typical case, Baba Basra? Koifin al midas stoim. We're not from Stom here. Help the guy out. The other rabbi, he says, chesed. So he says, I'm not so sure about that. You know why? Yesh l'tchoy satayna azu. Because the Gemara Baba Kama Dav Chav says, Shehanene mishel chaveiro v'chosel rak dover muat. Still it's also. It's a nice, beautiful day outside. You want to take a private snoozy. So now I walk home from my amazing teaching, and I see a Shana Aleph guy, because you guys would never do this, laying in my backyard sleeping. I said, excuse me, what the heck are you doing? And he goes, whoa, excuse me, Rabbi, Zen Nenav Zen Ochasser. What do you, well, this doesn't bother, I go, it does bother me. Yeah, the Gemara says, you can be Hakvados. Gemara Basra, you know, has agree, but whatever. Even if you're taking a little thing away from me. I don't want you to come to my hotel room and sleep in my... But nobody was sleeping there anyway. Okay, but there is, you're losing money like that. The imedubar, b'koyne ba'oni shekayem es mitzvot la'asos imo chesed, la'achnis al menas lebar ha'mivukash. Maybe we're going to say he's like an oni, and therefore we should help him out. V'gam oni, ulai yesh makom lahater mishel shekol moichem mu'unyan. Everybody wants to help somebody. Shekein k'nisa ha'dvarim yotza roshem k'tay l'knois. Khan is not so sure about that either. He says, very simple. Just go in and ask permission. Say, listen, you don't have to be 100% honest. Say, my uncle's a, you don't have to say that. Say, I really don't think I'm going to buy anything now. Can you still help me? Most of them will say yes. Or he says something interesting. Ha'emesh, he says, v'im kasha laso escape. You can't do that. Nobody does that. Roy sheyikne b'chanut mashu katan. Buy shoelaces. Then you have heter. You know the famous sign, you know, bathrooms are for customers only. Some places are really mocking on this. And you're like, how much is a piece of gum? You're like, you try to find the cheapest thing in the world. Okay? So Rav Zilberstein passes the halacha that he doesn't like this. Comes along Rabbi Harstein with the Chiddush Nifla Ad Moed, and he says, I think I found a machlekes, if you will. And then I'll tell you that Rav Harstein doesn't know what he's talking about. There's a sefer you might have. It's called the Daily Halacha, Rabbi Neustadt. It's a wonderful, amazing sefer. So he asked the following famous question, which borderlines our question about Geneva's Das as well. Okay. You're up at 2:00 in the morning, and that book you can't sleep because you went to a wedding last night, and there were so many free Coke Zeros, and you had 12 of them, and now you're like, so you go downstairs, and you put the TV on, and guess what? It's 2 in the morning, there's nothing on, and all of a sudden you get mesmerized by this infomercial. The Ronco slices and dices, right? You know, one of these things, and they know what they're doing, and you're like, wow, it slices and dices. Does it only slice and dice? And it cuts it in, and everybody goes, yay, Ronco, this is amazing. Look what it does. And if you have a shoe and you want to cut it in half, it'll do that too, right? You're like, wow. And you'll get all this for $29.95. Wait, but there's more. If you buy the Ronco now, we'll give you a set of knives. You're like, I need to call. And you pick up the phone, and you're like, ah, should I call it? And then all of a sudden, the guy says, and if you call now, 30-day money-back guarantee. Shkoyach. So you get the 30-day guarantee. The Ronco comes, and all the knives, and it comes to the house. And unfortunately, your wife is home when it comes, and she's like, what are you doing? I can't believe you. We don't need more knives. I should use one of those knives to kill you. Fine. So you return it. You're allowed to return it. Now, but what if you purchase something and you really think I'm not going to buy it? Again, I'm not talking about a case where you know for sure you're returning. We did that a few weeks ago. The Shannon Toad example of the Nebuch, the five communities in the United States of America that have the most returns are all Jewish communities. No, we're not talking about that. You're not sure. I'm not talking about a guy who goes to a weekend bar mitzvah and forgets his suit. And his wife's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, what do you mean I'm going to do? Across the street is Joseph A. Banks. They're going to make me a suit and I'll return it on Mitzvah Shabbos. That's awesome. But says Rav Neustadt, there are some mega chains, mega stores and chains, that may permit associates to sell an item to a customer even if the customer intends to return it after a short period of time. Why? Rabbi said, listen. Their market research shows that inevitably some customers change their mind and initially didn't want the item, now like the item, or they forget, and they're lazy, and they return the item after the allotted time. Or they'll take customer credit. So what's the difference? They're still going to buy something there. And therefore, you think you've outsmarted them? Market research shows they've outsmarted you. We all know that when Amazon started, their whole premise, which now they're reconsidering, was free returns. Because they knew that people need to touch things. People need to wear things. So that Zappos was the same thing. When Zappos started, said nobody ever is going to buy a shoe without trying it on. It's the most ridiculous thing. They said, no, we'll give you a label. You can do it. That's how they exist. It has to be that Zappos market research shows them that they're not losing money, even though people are returning shoes. And in fact, there are some people who buy 3 shoes knowing they only want one. Zappos like, that's fine. No problem. Obviously, their markup is so much. Yes, sir.
Why is the case with Joseph of being sued like not allowed? Because he may like really like the suit and just like want to keep it. What would that be like? Plus also,
Rabbi Neustadt's words are very short. You could argue with me that even in that case, Joseph A. Banks may allow it. Because on Shabbos, when everybody comes up to you and says, psh, look at you, that nice suit, right? Right? And one of your wife's friends comes up to you and goes, wow, that's a nice material. You know, I don't know. And you'd be like, I'm totally keeping this suit. Slim fit, fair. I may be wrong about that. I may be wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, but I think that's going too far. Yeah.
So it's not an issue when you order, let's say, Next or M&S, whatever you have to, and they deliver it and you buy 2 sites.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think it's fine. I think they want you to do that. 100%. So why is it looks like it's a machlokes? I don't think it's a machlokes at all. Right, because Rabbi Neustadt may say, in your case, you can walk in. I think it's a machlekes. It's not a machlekes. It's called a machlekes b'metzius. Rabbi Zilberstein lives in the country of Israel. And Rabbi Neustadt lives in the country of the United States of America. And their shopping is different, like you wouldn't believe. In Israel, you could actually walk into a store. And the guy would be like, lo achshav, lo, go. I don't want now. I'm going to clean the floor. I'm like, I know, but I want to, get out, And I'm pretty sure that if you walked in there and say, I'm just looking at shoes, I'm probably not buying it here, the guy's, get the heck out of my store. And in America, all they want you to do is walk into the store. Because if you're a good salesman and you had good sales training, I can sell you anything. I can sell ice to the Eskimos. The Eskimos don't need ice. They have plenty of ice. I can sell it to them. Sell me this pen, right? You can sell me something I don't even want, which may be another halachic problem. All I want you to do is get in the store. Rabbi said, listen to my story now. Rabbi Neustadt, I think, would agree with me on this one. Let's turn the tables for a moment on this guy. Now, Daniel Hartstein, seasoned salesman, is in the store. So now you walk into the store and you say, can I look at this? Can I look at that? Shoes, da, 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 da. And then you start, you go, thank you very much, and you walk out. But as you walk out, I saw that you wrote something down. I go, excuse me, hi. Can I ask you a question? Was I not like a good salesman? No, you were great, but can you be honest with me? Like, what did I do wrong? Okay, can I be real honest with you? My uncle actually works for Nike, and like, sorry, man, but I'm getting the shoes from him. I said, why? He's like, I'm being honest with you, I'm getting them 40% cheaper than your price here. Can you do me a favor? Wait 2 minutes, I want to talk to my manager. So I go to the back, and I play this great sales move. You can't hear anything, you just see the glass thing, and I go to my manager, hey, can you pretend like we're talking? Talk to me, pretend we're talking. We're not really talking, but let's pretend we're talking, okay? We're talking, okay, great. I come out. Wow, I just had a heated discussion with my manager. He told me, I can give you right now 30% off on the shoes. So you're a Levator guy, so you're like, wait a minute, 30%. 1 second. No, wait, 40% is better. Wait a second. My uncle's 40% better. He's like, okay, you're right. I can't give you the 40%, but let's talk for a second. It's $10. You get the shoes right now. You get the size that you want right now. You got a problem with the shoe, you can return. Your uncle may send you the wrong size. You can never return those shoes. We're here all the time. And by the way, next purchase, you get 20% off. And you're like, all right, fine. Forget it. I'll take the shoes. Oh, look what happened. It's what you said, genius. That's what you're saying. A good salesman, I just want you in the store. I also agree, by the way, that there is such a thing that the more people that are in the store, let's say you go to Nebuch. Let's say you're from Israel and you come for summer and now you go with wife. She wants to spend day off with you. And what does she say? We need to go shopping. Yes, shopping. Right? And you go to Woodbury Commons. Oh, there's no place I hate more than that. Right? Because not only they don't even have good food, I hate it. So many stores and outside and all the people walking around with the suitcases. Oh, thank you very much. Oh, hold around. Fine. And you're going around. You hate it. So I'm going to tell you, Maisa Shaya Kachaya. You don't have to believe me. It's okay. My wife wants to go there. We get there early. And the polo shop is about to open, Ralph Lauren. And they're having a team meeting. And I'm like, I got to listen to this team meeting. I got nothing to do all day now. Because So I want to listen to the team meeting. And here's the team meeting. Okay, everyone, here's what we're going to do. We need to work as a team. Okay, everyone, on three, let's do it. And all of a sudden, on three, they start throwing clothing on the floor. I never saw anything. I don't know what the heck is about to go on here. Within 5 minutes, the big sign on the window that says 70% everything, about 100 people walk into the store. Why? They start to see things on the floor and think, people must be grabbing. It must be such a good sale. It was the greatest sales thing I ever saw. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the prices of the items, and I'm like, they literally marked everything up 70% and say the 70% off. Like, so I believe the halacha, there's no machlekes over here with Rav Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein coming from Israel, maybe it's true. But in America, they may get you to buy those sneakers. And as I said to you before, honestly, you may buy sneakers again the next time when your uncle gets fired from his job. Because you had such good service. You may tell other people about it. They may have seen other people in the store. I don't think nowadays this is a problem at all. Just to summarize our Gnevus Das, and just to have a little fun, let me give you two or three other Gnevus Das scenarios. Maybe not Gnevus Das, borderline also Megachtos, but the same concept and the same idea. I told you how much I love Rav Zilberstein. These stories I'm sure you must have heard before from me. So I have it's interesting. I have here a list of 10 different Gnevus Das cases. Okay? As quick as I can be, just put the ideas in your mind. You invite a friend knowing that there's no way he can come for Shabbos. You have a big sign in your window, 50% off. You raise the prices 50%. You buy a present that you got for 50% off, and you leave the original price on it, so your friend will be tricked. Okay? You buy your friend a set of svarim. Let's say I buy you the Zohar, and I got it for 50% off because the guy said to me, listen, it's actually missing some pages. I'm like, don't worry. My friend's never going to read the Zohar. Right? Rav Moshe Feinstein's famous tshuva about stealing tests, the regents, in the day. He said he goes crazy on this. He says, if you steal a test for the rest of your life, you're a Ganeva's Das boy. You got into college on false pretenses. You became a doctor on false pretenses. You never graduated high school because you lied. V'chulu v'chulu. There's a lot of different things that we could do. Advertising this is a problem all the time. Deceptive testimonials. I tell you, do me a favor. Can you go on to Amazon and pretend like I brought you? This happens all the time. But now the two stories to end off with something sweet. 2 o'clock in the morning, Rav Zilberstein's wife wakes him up. And she says, honey, I'm sorry to wake you up, but outside of our door, I hear this woman crying. She's crying. She's been crying for an hour. Crazy. What's going on? So he says, okay, what do you want me to do? He's like, I think it's the girl that got married last night. Rebbe, so he gets dressed, he opens the door, and he says, is everything okay? She says, no, everything's not okay. Come in, have some tea, you know. What happened? He says, well, we had a very interesting morning. We got married last night, and in the morning, there's a knock on the door. And my husband says, sweetie pie, you're my Malka. You stay sleeping. I'll answer the door, honey punny. He opens the door. Salam alaikum barakatuhu wa habbalaha wala wala wala. And this Arab guy with all the garb, like he looks like Yasser Arafat, mamish. So he says, he probably looking for the guy that used to rent you. He goes, I'm a new guy. He goes, Mabruk, Mabruk. Mazel tov, get a mazel tov. What do you mean you get a mazel tov? He goes, you married my daughter last night. Oh, Jerry. You're like, what? What? He says, hey, can you hold on a second? Yeah, just 1 second. Obviously, he locks the door. But then goes to his wife, hi, so weird thing. She's like, what is it, sweetie? What? You can tell me anything. Well, apparently, you haven't told me everything. Your dad's at the door? Mahmoud Abbas? Like, is that your dad? She's like, oh, did I never tell you about that? He's like, hi, Ganeva's Das. What? He's like, listen, remember I told you that my mom, obviously she had a nasty divorce and I have nothing to do with my father? That's all true. No Ganeva's Das there. I told you the whole story. He didn't really tell me the whole story. What's the whole story? The whole story turns out to be, Nebuch, this happens in Israel, unfortunately. There's an organization that tries to help in this. She was, I don't know, working in a hospital or something like that. And this Arab doctor, I don't know what he was, lured her and said he loved her and they had a child together. She went off the derech, obviously, and he started beating her. It was terrible. And she ran away with me. I'm 100% Jewish. I'm religious. So he says, you're a liar. I can't be with a liar. And he runs away. So now Zilberstein's like, okay, well, like, what? So his wife's like, what do you mean, what do you do? Go find him. Like, 3 o'clock in the morning. So he says, he goes to where any good bachur should be. He goes to the local base medrash. And he finds him there. And you can see, Nebuch, the kid's broken. And he says, you know, obviously recognizes who Rav Zilberstein is. He says, come, let's talk. And he says, I got to ask you a question. What happens if 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I don't know how long they've been engaged, 3 months ago, your wife sits you down and says, listen, we're about to get engaged. We're engaged, whatever it is. I got to tell you something that's been so embarrassing. I've never told anybody my entire life, but I feel so close to you, I want to tell you. Here's the story about my father. Would you have not married her? He's like, are you crazy? I love her. Shit, of course. What do I care? Because that's not Ganeva. That's not Mekach Tos. Yeah, there was a Ganeva Das here. Ain't a Chanan. It's not called a Mekach. What's a Mekach Tos? A Mekach Tos is when I sell you the car, and you drive the car out, and you're like, oh, I didn't realize there are no wheels on it. You know, like, that's a Mekach Tos. It's called a lemon. I didn't realize that. That's a Mekach Tos. This is not a Mekach Tos, he said. Because you would have purchased the item anyway. I drive away, and as I'm driving, I don't believe this. This guy lied to me. The clock doesn't work on the car. And he brings the car back. I want all my money back. He says, come on. I don't even know the clock didn't work. That's not a Mekach. So Rav Zilberstein, of course, in his ways, is, ooh, that reminds me of another story. And this is a great one to end with. This is crazy. I got a lot of these Chassan Kahlo stories, but we'll leave it at this. Chassan Kahlo get married. Nice Haredi couple, Baruch Hashem. Good Leva Torah couple. Obviously, they've never seen each other without clothes on her. And as she's taking her clothes off, she takes her skirt off, and he sees that she has a wooden leg. Shkoyeh. And he's like, you know, like, he's going crazy. He's like, she's like, wait a minute, I never told you? No, I think I would have remembered that one. She's like, wait a minute, with all due respect, let's say I didn't tell you. We went out on dates, like, didn't you see I had a, I obviously, they're not equal, like, I have a limp. She's like, he's like, totally knew that. I thought, Nabuch, something happened to you, a child defect, or so you got into an accident or something. It wasn't important enough to ask. But we cannot be married. You're a liar. Can you stop? Same case. You know, boy comes to Rav Zilberstein, says, you know, I want to get, I'm zoicha to the ksuva, whole thing. I don't have to pay out the ksuva. And he says the same thing. He said, this is not, maybe this one's not as easy for you guys. He said, what happens if you found this out a month ago, before you got engaged? Would you? He said, yeah, I'm in love with her. Of course I would. I think Rav Zilberstein, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to, maybe I shouldn't end with this, because I think I'm right about this. He goes, and can I tell you a story? This really helped this chassan. He said, can I tell you a story? I think I'm right about this. He said, after, like, my father-in-law, the great Rav Yashav, I don't know how many, I'm assuming they were married for many, many, many years. At like the 50th wedding anniversary, she's like, oh my God, I have to tell you something I never told you before. I'm older than you. Rav Yashav said, what? Again, our times, I think it's still today, you're like, oh, chas v'shalom, you can't go out with a girl that's older. This is a ridiculous thing. He said, so I was told by my rabbanim, told me I can, I shouldn't say anything. Like a year older. Rav laughed at it, and shkoyach, you know, that was it. It's a tremendous topic, but I think at the core of the topic, and obviously as we read the parshas, we just read about love and being a Ramai, right? That he was the ultimate person. We see that Yaakov Avinu is absolutely the opposite of this. Yaakov worked so hard. The Rambam says he was called Yaakov HaTzadik. He's a tzadik because he worked even though his lim lifnim mishur hasadin. Sometimes he's going to have a sas case on lifnim mishur hasadin, but he still do it. Ah, it's a tremendous thing to learn. It's a tremendous thing to live up to. I think it's a very, very, very important topic.